Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be reading verse 13 through 14. Philippians chapter 3, 13 and 14. The New American Standard reads, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." As we read this text, we can see many different points that the Apostle Paul is making here. He starts out by saying that he doesn't believe he has arrived. He hasn't completed the race set before him, but he's focused on just that. "This one thing I do," he says, he's encouraging us, letting us in on his mindset. You know, we should be inspired by someone who is following, reaching, and pressing toward the finish line. But one of the first things that we see here in this passage of Scripture is the word forgetting. Despite life's challenges, the first thing that makes it possible for Paul to keep striving to finish the race is his willingness and deliberate choice to forget. One of the things that keeps so many people from going forward in their walk with God, going forward deeper in their walk with God, is their unwillingness to forget or set aside things from their past. If you want to press on toward the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, we have to be willing to forget some things. How many of you know the devil wants to try to bring some things up from your past? Amen? He wants you to remember things. So, three things we must forget. Number one is we must forget our past sins. That is, we've truly repented, we've confessed them and forsaken them, then we must forget them. Look at Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Everybody doing okay this morning?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 28. Verse 13 says, "He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion." If we have confessed our sin and renounced our sin, God has forgiven it and forgotten it. Look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Verse 12. Psalm 103, verse 12. "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's a long way. Amen. You know, the enemy wants to keep bringing up those things, but if you've confessed it, you know, and you've forsaken it and you've moved on, God has forgotten it. Look at Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah 44. Verse 22 says, "I have wiped out your transgressions like a thick cloud and your sins like a heavy mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you." And then turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. verse 16 and 17. Everybody in here has heard these scriptures before, but it's always good to remind ourselves. Amen? Because the enemy wants to keep us in the past. He wants us to keep remembering those things. He'll bring those things up, you know. He wants you to stay in that place where you're not pressing on, that you're not going after the high calling of God in your life. Hebrews 10, 16 and 17 says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart, and upon their mind I will write them." And then he says, "And their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Hallelujah. If God has forgotten our sins, we need to do the same. Paul said that's one of the keys in pressing on. If we want to have a deeper relationship with God, if we want to go after the things of God, press into the things of God, be closer to God than we've ever done before, if we're going to emulate what Paul's doing, he says one of the first things he does is forget what's happened in the past. Amen? Amen? If you don't, the memory of that will just keep coming up and it's going to hinder you. You got to also forget our past failures. How many of you have ever failed at anything? Right? Yeah. Today, yesterday, we've all failed. Amen? But if we're constantly dwelling upon our failures and reviving the memory of them, our progress is going to be impeded and our usefulness is going to be limited. Some people are always filled with regret over what might have been. You can't live with regrets. Amen? If you failed, maybe it was a relationship, whatever it may be, maybe it was a job, maybe it was an opportunity, I don't care what it was, maybe it was a chance to witness to somebody, or whatever the case may be, the enemy will throw all kinds of things up to you. He's a failure, right? He knows all about being a failure. So he wants to make you feel like a failure, to hinder our walk with God. And he wants to, if we're always thinking about, well, I didn't do that right, then you're not, you know. Have you ever tried to witness to somebody and it just didn't go real well, and then later on the enemy brings it back to what a failure you are? Right? Well, he wants to keep you in that place and remind you of being a failure. The fact of the matter was, is you didn't fail. You planted seed in their life. Whether you reaped it or not, whether you've seen any change or not, you planted some seed into their life. Amen? So you wasn't a failure. The enemy wants to tell you that you're a failure, but he's a liar. But if you concentrate on those failures and you think about them, you're never going to move forward. Amen? Amen? You just got to keep pressing on. Pressing on. We have to, the third thing we got to forget is our past hurts and offenses. To keep reviving the memory of those experiences will cause resentment. Anybody in here ever been offended by somebody? Yes. I'm sure you've been hurt by people in your life. Yes. People in your family, maybe. People, your neighbors, whatever it may be. People you work with. People that you thought were your friends. Whatever the case may be, you were offended by them. You were hurt by them. But if you allow that bitterness to remain there, in Hebrews chapter 12, if you're still there in Hebrews, turn over to chapter 12, verse 15. He says, "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled." Hebrews 12:15. Don't get bitter. Amen? Because if you allow that resentment, you allow that hurt to fester there and to become bitterness, it'll defile every relationship that you're involved in. I've seen it happen. Amen. Seen it happen to people in the church. Yes. Seen it happen to people that I worked with. Something happened. They were offended or they were hurt. And they never got over that. And after a while, some people that were Christians, good people, loved God, got over into bitterness, and within a few years became just people you didn't want to be around. They were bitter, they were angry, everything was just negative. They were negative Nancys. Not fun to be around. Amen? I don't like to be around negative people. Amen. I just don't. People, everything's always bad. Everything's always terrible. Everybody did something. Somebody did something to offend them. They're always the victim. They wear you out, man. Amen. They will suck the life right out of you. They will. Amen? But if you don't forget those things, your past sins, your failures, those hurts, those offenses, you'll just be like that. You ever got on your computer and something's going on, it's got a virus or something, and it just sits there and it just keeps spinning and spinning, and it's not doing anything? That's the way we are when we get into where we're not forgetting our past. We're holding on to those things. We're just kind of in limbo. We're not doing anything. We're paralyzed. That's where the enemy wants you to be. If you don't make a deliberate decision to forget and not allow those things to occupy your time, you're going to stay there. It's been said that we should learn from life's injuries, not be held captive by them. The next thing Paul says he makes the decisions to do is to reach toward the goal. There in Philippians chapter 3, he says, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Amen? We need to forget the past and we need to strive to keep moving forward. Moving forward. If you want to stay stuck in the past, it's just not going to be any fun. Amen? Thinking about all them past hurts, failures, resentments, things you were offended by. Get that garbage out of your mind. Amen? We got more important things to do. Paul talks about forgetting all of those things and reaching forward. That word in the Greek means to stretch out to or towards, to stretch oneself forward. It's a conscious decision that you've got to make. Paul made it. He said, this is what I'm doing in order to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God. Is I'm going to go after it. I'm going to forget about the things behind and I'm going to reach about and reach for the future. Glory to God. He says, I press toward the mark, verse 14, or toward the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. Calvin Coolidge said this, nothing in this world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. A little harsh, but persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. The slogan, "Press On," has solved and always will solve the problems of the human race. Just got to keep pressing on. Amen? Just because you're smart, just because you're talented, doesn't mean anything if you're just stuck. Got to just keep pressing on. The word translated as "press on" is the Greek word diako. It's D-I-O-K-O. And it's very interesting when you look at its uses in the New Testament. It means to run swiftly in order to catch a person or a thing. To run after. Figuratively, of one who is in a race, run swiftly to reach the goal. In the King James Version, it's used in a lot of different manners. It's used to make, to run or flee, to run swiftly in order to catch a person or a thing, to press on figuratively of one who is in a race, run swiftly to reach the goal. It's also used as to pursue in a hostile manner. In any way, whatever, to harass, trouble, to persecute, to be mistreated, to suffer persecution on account of something, to seek after eagerly. Diako is something that is deliberate. There's a positive side and a negative side. If you think about persecution, it's an action that is not done casually and without thought or feeling. If persecution involved, there has to be a goal. The Apostle Paul knew quite a bit about persecution. And by the use of the word diako here, I think he's sending a message that with the same determination that he tried to destroy the early church, with that same determination, he's also that determined to seek after the high calling of God in his life. No matter what the Apostle Paul did, he was passionate about it, right?
Yes.
I mean, he was on his way to go persecute the church, throw people in jail. He'd already done that. He was on the road to Damascus. He was on a mission. He was going down there, and God changed him. Jesus appeared to him. Jesus talked to him. Amen? And changed him. Changed the whole course of his life. All of us, God's changed our life. He's changed the direction of our life. So we need to pursue. Diako speaks of an intensity of effort leading to pursue with earnestness and diligence. Just be pressing on. Just like we were talking a little bit down there this morning about, you know, living out our faith and walking out our faith. There's some people that get born again that make Jesus the Lord of their life, and nothing ever changes in their life. Amen. There's no evidence in their life that they came forward, that they had an experience with God. There's no evidence in their life. There's no pursuit after God. There's no pressing on. Just because your name might be written in the Lamb's Book of Life doesn't mean that that's all there is for God has for you to do. Amen? God's called you to live a better life. God's called you to do certain things. Warren Wiersbe wrote that diako carries the idea of an intense endeavor. The Greeks used it to describe a hunter eagerly pursuing his prey. A man does not become a winning athlete by listening to lectures, watching movies, reading books, or cheering at the games. Amen? He becomes a winning athlete by determination, by practice. You know, golfers. I know we got some golfers here. Arnie's really good golfer. But those guys on TV, if you watch, do you ever watch golf on TV? I know some of you are like, well, that's just boring. It's not boring. It's entertaining. It's awesome. Because those guys are so good. They make it look so easy. Their swings are just perfect. They hit a bad shot, it's 10 yards off. We hit a bad shot, it's 50 yards off. Amen. They get mad if they're not on the green in regulation. You know, it's a failure for them. But why is that? Because they hit hundreds of shots, even thousands sometimes, a day. They just go out there and they hit shot after shot after shot, so that when they step up to the ball, their routine's the exact same and their swing plane is exactly the same. And they hit no matter what club they're using, they have the same exact swing. Takes persistence. They just don't jump out of the car every week and or jump off the plane and run over there. When they're at home, they're practicing. It's their job. Amen? Any athlete trains. Football players don't just, we're just running around. It's not just your barnyard football game where just run out there and I'll throw you the ball. No, they have exactly how many steps they're supposed to take. Right, Mike? You're the football guy. How many steps they're supposed to take, and then they're either supposed to cut in or cut out or whatever they're supposed to do. It's all timing, especially when you get to the pro level. It's diligence, it's perseverance, it's practice. We just can't expect to be this wonderful Christian if we're not practicing. Amen? It's the same attitude. We got to press in. Are we being diligent? Are we serious about being the Christian that God's called us to be? Or are we just going to be the hacker that get out of the car and hit our golf ball all over the place? That's what it is. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Arnie can relate to this more than that. You know, I used to play a lot of golf. And I was a lot better back then than I am now. Because I would play two or three times a week. And I would practice. And I was pretty good. But now it's just a struggle some days I go out there. It's like, and then I get mad because I used to be able to hit that shot. No problem. And now it's not there because I don't practice. I don't play like I used to. Amen? If we're not reading the Word and we're not praying and we're not doing the things that God's called us to do, we can't expect to be living the godly life that God called us to live. Amen? We just can't show up to church on Sunday, not crack our Bible open the whole week, and expect things to just be wonderful and just keep going that way. We're never going to grow. We're just existing. Amen? 1 Timothy 6:11 says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue," it's the same word, diako, "pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness." You got to pursue. I just thought those things were just going to happen. You got to pursue godliness. You got to pursue after faith. You got to put your faith into practice. You got to pursue loving people. It's not always easy to love people, as we talked about downstairs. Amen? It's not always easy. Patience and gentleness. It's not always easy to be patient with people. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 15 says, "See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after," that's that word diako, "that which is good for one another and for all men." We've got to earnestly seek after things and do things. Sometimes doing something for somebody may not be convenient for you, or might not be what you look at it as your best interest, or what's the best thing for you. It might be the best thing for somebody else. Amen? Not always easy. Hebrews 12:14. We just read 15. "That no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble." But verse 14, he says, "Pursue peace with all men in the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord." It's the same word there, diako, as used as pursue there. Pursue peace with all people. There's some people, it's just not easy to be at peace with them.
It's true.
Amen? Right after that, he talks about let no root of bitterness spring up. You have to try our best to live in peace with people. So we're pressing in, we're pursuing after the mark or the goal. The word goal there is the word scopos. It means to direct one's attention upon a thing, either in order to obtain it or because one has a peculiar interest in it, or a duty to fulfill toward it. It's where we get the word scope from. This is the only place in the entire New Testament that this word is used. One time, the word scopos. You know, it's where we get a microscope or a telescope. It refers to that on which our eyes are fixed. It can be real close to us, or it can be something that's real far away. The goal or the end that one has in view. So we just need to press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God. Our goal is heaven, the thing that's way far off, amen? But it needs to be things that are close to us. The microscope, the things, the little details. Ephesians 5:27 declares that Jesus Christ wants to present the church to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. That's Ephesians 5:27. Don't set your standards too low or think that I can never attain that. I'm never going to be holy or blameless. Well, you are, because you're in Christ Jesus. Amen? You are the righteousness of God through faith in Christ. Holiness is a lifestyle. You can make choices to live holy unto God. You just got to keep pressing on. Amen? Look at Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Keeping our eyes fixed on the prize. Amen? Just keep pressing toward the mark or the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:12 says, "I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what the situation is what Paul's saying. We just got to realize that I can do all things through Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That should be our focus. Whether it's something distant or something close. Is there things, relationships the Lord's been dealing with you about patching up or restoring or making an effort to restore? Is there things in your life, a habit or a problem that the Lord has been dealing with you? Well, the thing is, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Just say, you know what? I'm pressing on. I've just never got the victory over that. Well, you just can't quit. That's a failure, right? You just got to say, you know what? I'm moving on. I'm going to get the victory over this thing. You know? I'm going to be victorious. Why? Because of Jesus. And because He strengthens me. And He's going to enable me to do that. You can do all things through Jesus Christ. You just got to keep pressing on. Keep your eyes on the finish line. Keep your eyes on the goal. Amen? You just got to keep going after it. The word prize refers to a gift received as a reward as a result of having won in competition. It was a prize or a wreath or a garland bestowed on the victors in the contest of the Greeks. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win." Hallelujah. Look, the enemy wants to beat you down. He wants to defeat you. He does not like you. He hates you. Amen? He hates all mankind because mankind was created in God's image. Mankind was given authority. Amen? The enemy does not play fair. He doesn't want you to succeed. He wants you to fail. It's a war. It's not just an afternoon softball game. Amen? It's life or death. The high calling of God. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Set your affection on the things above. Amen? The high calling of God. It's the same word used for the high calling is used for above here. Set your things on affection on things above. One translation, I think the King James Version says, set your affection on things above. Does it not? Set your affection. When we think of affection, we think of emotions or passions. It does play a part in that, but it goes deeper. The word affections means a moral consideration, to interest oneself in, to direct one's mind to a thing, to plan on, to attend. It's the same thing that Paul's talking about, is you have to make a decision that I'm going to go after the things of God. I'm going to keep pressing on. Amen? I'm going to set my affection on the things above, not on the things on the earth. I'm going to get interested in the things of God. That's what I'm going after. That's what's going to be most important in my life. Hebrews 3:1 says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." You have a calling from God. Amen? The high calling of God. You have a call of God on your life. We hear that and we think, oh, that's just for people that are in the ministry. Because we view, oh, they've got the call of God on their life. Everybody has the call of God on their life. You've got the high calling of God to attain to higher things in your life. Not just to live mediocre, run-of-the-mill, just barely getting by. We have a high calling of God. God wants us to live up here, not down here. Amen? He wants to live those holy, blameless lives. People that are sharing the love of God with people. People that are praying for people when we're actually doing it when we tell them we're going to pray for them. Amen? You know, I found one of the best ways to do that is pray immediately. Because if you don't, you can be well-meaning and say, yeah, we'll pray, and then you forget. Anybody ever done that? Or I'm the only one. So now if somebody texts me or says, hey, Pastor, we need you to pray, I just stop and just pray. Whatever I'm doing, just pray. If I'm driving, I pray. I don't close my eyes, but I pray. Right?
Yes.
That way you just don't forget. 2 Timothy 1:9. Look at that. 2 Timothy 1:9. The King James Version says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." God has big plans for you. Doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, God has big plans for you. The enemy wants you to quit. He wants to diminish who you are in your relationship to God. He wants to diminish what God has done in your life because he wants you to get your eyes off the prize. We often settle for a walk with the Lord that's well below what he makes available to us. But it takes a daily commitment to keep pressing on, to keep striving after that high calling. Philippians 1:20 says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or by death." I'm not going to be ashamed, but with all boldness, Jesus is going to be magnified in my life. Amen? Don't settle. That's the message this morning. We don't want to settle. Amen? Don't want to settle. Don't take the low road, the passive road, the path of least resistance. God has better for you and he's got better for me. Don't let others set the standard for you. We are to be the standard setters. Amen? You be the standard setter in your home. You be the standard setter at your job. Amen? Because when you set the standard high, then everybody else will have to try to get up to that. You'll bring everybody in that place will come up to you. You may not see it. Amen? That's why the people that don't want to hear about God don't cuss in your presence, because you set the standard up there, Jim.
That's right.
Amen? You may think, oh, I'm not getting to him. Yeah, you are. That's why they don't want to hear about God, because you're getting to them. Because they see something in you. Because you set the standard up there. Amen? When you set the standard up there, then people have to try to, Well, the good news is, you can be up there too if you just come to know Jesus. You want peace? You want joy in your life? Got the answer for you. Amen? You be the one who is out in front, always pointing to Jesus Christ. Don't become a pessimist. God's plans are good plans for you. That's what he says in Jeremiah. Plans to give you a future and a hope. You can do all things through Christ, who is your strength. Look at Psalm 60. Got a couple more scriptures and we'll close here. Psalm 60, verse 11 and 12. We can do all things through Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. All things, not some things. Psalm 60, verse 11 and 12. The NIV says, "Give us aid against the enemy, for human help is worthless. With God, we will gain the victory, and he will trample down our enemies."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. With God, we will gain the victory. Don't aim too low. Don't settle for less. Don't settle for a truce with the devil. Amen? Can't bargain with the devil. Because he'll just want more and more. If you give a little inch, he wants to take a mile. Amen? The old adage. Don't be content with a tie. How many of you like to tie when you're playing something? Nah. You want to win. Amen? You have to keep pressing on even when you feel like quitting. Even when you feel like you're just not doing any good, when you feel like I'm never going to get there, you just got to keep going, because you are a devil defeater. Good. Expect victory, not defeat. Expect health, not sickness. Expect answered prayer, not disappointment. It's all about what you're expecting. Expect blessings, not curses.
Amen.
We're going to be talking a lot about the law and curses and blessings over the next month. Don't want to live under a curse. You're not living under a curse. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law.
Amen.
Amen? Expect to be able to live a godly life, not to live in failure. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Expect to defeat the enemy in every situation in your life, not to be defeated. 1 John 2:14. We'll close with this scripture. 1 John 2:14 says, "I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one." Hallelujah. You have overcome.
Yes.
Don't just hope he's going to leave you alone. Take action and tell him to leave you alone. Aim to be what God has enabled you to be, and that's an overcomer. Have the same mentality that Paul did. I press forward. Amen? Forget everything that's behind me. Forget everything that's happened up to this point. I'm going to make a decision that I'm going after the things of God. Amen. I'm gonna reach forward. I'm gonna press forward to that high mark. The things that are way out there, yeah, heaven's out there in front of me, but there's a lot of things here in front of me that God wants me to do that are right here. Amen? And I'm going to go after them, and I'm going to do them. Expect to overcome things. Expect to win. Amen? Because you were called to win. That high calling in Christ Jesus is that of a winner. Jesus won.
Amen.
Said he spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He just didn't sneak out of hell that day. Opened up the door and snuck out and was raised from the dead. No. He kicked the doors wide open.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Took the keys.
Yes.
Said, I'm out of here. And you can't do anything about it. Amen. That's the mentality we have to have. I'm a blood-bought child of God. Amen. I'm going to do what God's called me to do, and devil, you can't do anything about it. Amen. Every time he sticks his ugly head up there, you just stomp on him. You've been seated in heavenly places far above all principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen? You've been above them. With God, we will gain the victory. Amen? That high calling of God is something special. It's something to attain to. It's something that Jesus died on the cross, went to hell for you, and rose from the dead so that you would be able to live the life that God has for you to live.
Amen.
We just need to get serious about it and press on. Say, you know what? I'm going after it. I'm not just going to settle for just getting along. Just, oh yeah, whatever. Living my life. I'm going to go after the things of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, that we are overcomers. Lord, I thank you and praise you that even when we may not feel like it, your word says that we are. And Lord, I thank you and praise you that as we can just take Paul's encouragement, Paul's just the words that he spoke to just stir us up, Father, that we can emulate the same passion, the same determination that he had, that we can follow after you the same way, pressing on, Father, after that high calling. To do everything that you've called us to do. To live in the life that you've called us to live. To live in the position of righteousness. To live as a child of God that you've called us to live, Father. I thank you and praise you that everyone here and everyone that listened to this podcast, Lord, that they just grab a hold of this. And just make a decision that, you know what? I'm going to go after the things of God. We just thank you for it and praise you for it and give you all the glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.